Welcome to Mind Mastery and Manifestation, the number one podcast helping you rewire your mind to erase fear, unlock your greatest potential, and get the extraordinary relationships, businesses, and lives you've always wanted. We're your hosts, Dan Mendelow
and Sophie Kessler. So welcome to episode one, where we are going to, number one, introduce ourselves, tell you guys a little bit about how Dan and I got involved in the world of mindset, of mastering your mindset and being able to really manifest and create a life that you love.
So the thing is, this podcast is going to be very, very different from hopefully all of the other podcasts you've ever heard, not just because you have some spectacular hosts, if I don't say so myself, but also because we've got a number of different goals here that we want to share with you during this first episode so that you know exactly what you've got in store. This is going to be a journey of transformation for you, and we can't wait to get started.
All right. So for this episode, what we're really, really excited about, number one, is just helping you guys get really, really clear on what it takes to have lasting change in your life. And part of how we're going to help you do that is really providing applicable tools and strategies that you can implement every single day.
Yeah, because we want you to not just listen to this podcast and be entertained by it or fall in love with how cool is it to listen to Sophie and Dan. We want you to have some real results. We want you to be an active participant in the podcast and in your own life so that you can consistently take steps towards that extraordinary business or relationship or life that you've always wanted.
Absolutely. And I think the biggest thing that you guys can really expect from us, other than coming with a ton of energy and a lot of fun, is really knowing that we're here to just not just give you information, but really help provide the steps and guide you on your transformation. And so some of the things that you can expect from this podcast, number one, is we're going to be covering a lot of the fundamentals of transformation. A lot of how Dan and I take different technologies, different strategies, different theories, and combine them in unique ways to really get the best results.
And so really, I mean, that's why we call it mind mastery. We don't want you to just hear it, find a cool trick, and then use it, not understand why it's working or how to tweak it for yourself. We want you really to become a master of your own mind. And so we start off with the fundamentals of all of the different ways in which you see the world. What creates your perceptions? Why do you act or behave in a certain way? Where do these habits come from? Where do your results come from? Because then when we start the real heavy tweaking, you know exactly what we're talking about, and you can get the most out of every single technique.
Absolutely. And the most important piece in all of this is to not just show you what to do, but to empower you, each and every single one of you, on becoming independent. So you don't have to depend on us or any other coach to really be able to create those transformations. It's something that you can do at any point in your life moving forward. And really, you become the master of your own mind.
And so we are going to have all sorts of different episodes coming later after we deal with the fundamentals that will help you fully master everything that we're giving you. We're going to have Q&A sessions where you can send us anything that's on your mind about what we've talked about or what's going on in your life so we can help you progress. And we're going to have interviews with other amazing practitioners, other thought leaders, and other people who could just help you take these massive leaps forward. And something that I know Sophie and I are really excited about, we're even going to have some episodes where we're going to have live interventions, where you're going to have an opportunity to hop on the line with us, tell us what you're working on, what are the obstacles that you're trying to overcome, or the challenges, or maybe even the goals that you're trying to achieve. And right then and there, we're going to help you take massive steps forward.
Awesome. And like Dan said, we are so, so excited for this piece especially. But more importantly, more than anything else, it's really to help get this information out there, show you guys what's possible, and really empower each and every single one of you on really what life can be like when you step into your greatest gifts, when you master your mind.
Absolutely. And so first, I think we should start off by telling you a little bit about who we are.
Yeah. So Dan, why don't you go ahead and go first?
All right, cool. So my story begins with, I think, bringing depression in from a past life, if you believe in that sort of thing. That's the only way that I can explain it, because ever since I was a little kid, I felt heavier than everybody else. And so I was born in Jerusalem, Israel, but I grew up in New Jersey. And so when I went to even kindergarten and preschool, I didn't look like the rest of the kids. I didn't dress like them. I didn't talk like them. Nothing about me was the same. And I think you know what kids can be. And so I started off depressed and feeling out of place in general. And then things got really bad. I remember coming home one day and telling my mom that I could never speak Hebrew again because all I wanted to do was fit in. I just wanted to be like everybody else. And I just wanted to feel normal. And I just wanted people to stop picking on me. And after that, I think there were only a few days in my life where I spoke Hebrew at all. And that was because I was in Israel and my parents were nagging me. But other than that, I actually stopped speaking, you know, my mother tongue, my first language. And as I grew up after that, really all I wanted to do was be normal and be accepted and feel loved. And it just wouldn't happen, no matter what I tried. And every time I looked at someone else and tried to do whatever they did in order to be happy and have friends and just have a good life, it would blow up in my face until I went to college, because that's really the best thing you could do for a depressed and angry child is put him in a place where he has unlimited access to alcohol. And so my depression took on its own thing, and it really became a part of my identity. It was really like a calling card. Like, I would introduce myself. Hi, my name is Dan and I'm depressed. And it just got worse and worse and worse. And I just couldn't understand why it was that everybody else seemed to have such an easy time making friends, even getting good grades or having an amazing dating life, or just being happy, just being okay with themselves, with their lives. And for me, it seemed like every single thing was a struggle. And if I got even a little bit of something good, I had to hold on to it with both hands, or it would just crumble, or it would be taken from me. And I remember one night standing in my college dorm room thinking about my options as I saw them for my life. And one was to accept that I was a loser and that I was always going to be a loser. And all of the good things that I saw everybody else get to enjoy were off limits for me, or I could opt out. Those were my only two choices as I saw them. And I woke up the next morning furious. I was livid at everything. I was so mad at my parents for raising me in a way that led me to this point. You know, I was even mad at them for having me in Jerusalem. And I was just so enraged by the kids who were so mean to me growing up. I was pissed off with life for being so cruel. And most of all, I was sick of myself for being so weak and putting myself into a place where I actually thought that opting out was one of two options. My other option was not any better. And behind all of this rage, behind all this anger, was another voice that told me that I would have to figure this out, that I did have a third option, but it was going to be hard, and that I would have to do it myself, that I would have to figure this out. And going to professional help would only lead me to taking a pill, which actually would have just proven to me that my worst fear was right, that there was something fundamentally broken in me, and I needed a medicine to change my brain so that I could just get through a day. And so instead, I became obsessed with human behavior, with psychology, with everything. And I went to, at the moment, I was at Carnegie Mellon University. I went there for computer science and I switched over to cognitive science. It's the way that your brain turns stimulus into information, because I thought if there was something wrong with my brain, then I'd be able to discover it and I'd be able to fix it. But obviously I didn't find anything, because really there was nothing wrong with me. So I started studying all sorts of different classical psychology and social psychology, going through absolutely everything I could find. And of course that didn't really help me either. So I started getting into the weirder things. I started studying positive psychology before it even had a name, starting off with Masaru Emoto's ICE studies. That was my way in, and getting even weirder with neuro-linguistic programming and hypnosis and past life regression and then energy healing and Vedic spirituality and getting into absolutely everything. And along the way, one day I realized that I wasn't depressed anymore, and I hadn't been for a long time, and that, even better, I actually liked my life and I actually liked myself. And I was surrounded by amazing people and doing amazing things. And that's when I decided to quit my cushy aerospace job and become a coach. And there were two things that became abundantly obvious. One, I had no idea what I was doing because there's so much more to coaching than just being on stage or just working with a client. There actually is a business to it. And I didn't know anything about it. And the person who said who was going to be my mentor turned out to be something totally different. And I found myself trying absolutely everything in this blind panic because I didn't have income. And I was amazing when I had someone in front of me, but I had no idea how to get them to that point. And I was working 14, 16 hour days every single day, trying to get everything together, doing whatever I could, not sleeping because I was so stressed out, but totally exhausted, giving myself adrenal fatigue and realizing that I had healed my depression to put myself right into a nervous breakdown. And this time would be so much worse because I found what I was supposed to do. I finally had a dream. I could really do something with my life, and it was slipping through my fingers. And that's when a few coaches showed up in my life and showed me that what I had learned was even bigger than just depression, and taught me how to turn these lessons and these technologies onto any other part of my life, starting with my business. And since then, the moment I started applying it to my business, I grew a six-figure business in 6 months. And then I applied it to my dating life, my social life, my health, and everything like that. And I've been helping, well, since then, thousands of people to do the same thing in their lives. And I'm still completely obsessed with what I do. I really feel like this journey is the best thing I could have done. All of my life led me to this point, and I'm ecstatic to be here with you sharing these things that not only saved my life, but were responsible for transforming so many of my clients' lives as well. It's an honor to be here with you.
And it's just, wow. Every time it's just so beautiful, and it really does pull at your heartstrings in a sense to really understand that sometimes in life, your biggest pains can be the things that lead you to your biggest purpose. And tying right back into that, again, sharing a little bit with you guys about my story, it's somewhat similar to Dan. I didn't grow up in Jerusalem. I was born here in the States, but I was born into a family where there was a lot of alcohol and a lot of other substances that were used. And in that experience, my parents were both, my dad graduated high school by barely passing. My mom dropped out when she got pregnant with my brother when she was 17. So neither one of them had any real kind of college education. They were both on their own from a very young age. And so there was infidelity in the relationship early on, and that caused a lot of emotional abuse between both of them. And it was what I had witnessed for the first few years of my life. And so once my parents ended up getting divorced, I started to experience a whole different world of poverty. And with poverty came a lot of other things. There was a lot of gang influence, a lot of drug influence, a lot of alcohol influence. And being 8, 9, 10, 11 years old, having very bad self-esteem and self-image and no real guidance for what a relationship is like, because dad is off dating all these women and mom is off drinking and just trying to numb the pain that she's experiencing. And again, my brother picking up on those patterns as well. I learned from a very early age this idea that in order to feel significant, to feel special, to feel like I've mattered, the quickest and easiest way for me to do that, being a girl, being a woman, was through sex. And so early on, I started putting myself in very promiscuous situations. And from that, I experienced multiple times what I would call now rape and molestation that I wasn't really fully aware of because I didn't understand what was actually happening to me at the time. And so from there, I got involved in gangs because I thought that that was a way to protect myself because I didn't really have a family or a home life. I was this idea that if I get involved with these people, maybe they'll protect me. Maybe they'll take care of me. And boy, was I wrong. Not only did they not take care of me, not protect me, but they actually hurt me more than I probably would have been had I not been around them. And so from about seventh grade up until the time that I graduated high school, every year I was in a different school. Every year I was in a different school, trying on a different identity. and trying to escape this past of being this person who was this whore and this slut and had all of these terrible things attached to me and feeling so disgusted, not just with myself, but with my body, where I didn't even feel comfortable being in my own skin. And I can remember very, very well one day walking home with these three kids who I thought were my friends and them taking me somewhere where we weren't supposed to be going and doing things that are unspeakable. And hopping back in my dad's car when he picked me up that day from the Boys and Girls Club, not saying a word about what happened. And to this day, they still don't know. And getting home that day and showering because I didn't know how else to get it off. And I was so disgusted with myself. And so from that point, it was this moment of, what's going on with me? I don't understand. I can't really share this with anybody. Nobody's really listening. And I started to self-mutilate. I started cutting because I didn't know how else to numb the pain. And so this led into exploring other ways of numbing, of really being able to find a way to escape it because it was so much. And I went into a point of really massive depression. And the best thing that my parents thought of was to go and send me to a therapist. And so they would go and send me to a therapist and try to have these counseling meetings. And it was interesting because what ended up coming up was never anything that had to do with it. It was more just talking about, well, why are you feeling this way? And going more into why I'm feeling what I'm feeling would never actually help me resolve it. And just kind of reliving those experiences, which for me was more and more painful. And a lot of the times I would just shut down. And it got to a point where I wouldn't talk to anyone anymore. And so it wasn't until one of the therapists, I think after about four or five that they tried with me, finally got through. And he recommended that I go to a youth camp. And so I applied for this youth camp and I got accepted, and it was one of the most transformational moments in my life. And I would say that this camp, the people that they probably having taken the time to speak to me, to sit down with me, they literally saved my life. And so at this camp, it was 5 days of sitting, you know, with, I think there were 300 other teens from all over the world, and they have us go through these incredible processes. And I remember very well sitting down with one of the coaches crying uncontrollably because there was just so much coming up for me, and them telling me that it's okay, that you are loved, that you are enough, that you are worthy, that you're going to be okay, and that you matter. And hearing that for the first time and actually believing it was monumental. And so from that moment after sitting down with that coach, I went back home and I decided that I was like, I don't want to be this person anymore. I want to be somebody different. I want to be able to feel accepted and to feel like I'm good enough and to be able to hang out with kids and enjoy it and not to have to feel like I have to pretend to be somebody that I'm not. And so what I started doing is every year I would go to a new school and I would start school out putting on this identity of who I wanted to be, getting the clothes, the outfits, the makeup, whatever it required, and trying to fit in with that mob of kids. And it was so interesting. By the time I was at my third high school, I realized that they're all the same, that it didn't matter what school I went to. It was always going to be the same thing with different groups of people, and that these people had these same things. And that very quickly I realized everyone was just trying to be okay, to feel good, to be happy, to feel like they have friends. And that was the moment where I decided for myself that I was like, well, I don't want to be in public school anymore. And so I made the decision to get out of public school and go into an online school where I finished my high school degree a semester early and ended up starting my community college degree, where I dove deep into child development, into psychology, and really wanting to understand what the hell happened to me. In a very similar sense, I was aching to really try to understand why, after all this time, I learned all this stuff, I knew that I was worthy, knew that I felt good enough, but why did I still feel so uncomfortable and so insecure and so out of place in my own body and with anyone that I would associate with? It felt like no matter where I went, I was always wearing a mask. And so for me, it was this process of really being able to unveil these masks and really being able to figure out, who am I really? And it was a lot of unlearning. I started studying a lot of the different methods behind Jung, behind a lot of these bigger guys who will teach you all of these different theories, especially if you're talking about Freudian, and really understanding what is happening. And it was interesting because I never stuck to any one of them. There were bits and pieces that I enjoyed about each and every single one, And as I started to learn more and more and more, I moved into university where I was, after I had achieved about 4 associate degrees, I jumped into my bachelor's program for psychology. And about halfway through, I got to the point where I was realizing that everything that I'm learning in this has nothing to do with what I really want to be doing. And at that point, I had spent about the last 6 years in and out of a ton of different personal development seminars and programs and workshops, studying very similar to Dan with NLP, diving deep into different kind of practices like meditation, studying everything from shadow work to whatever you can think of, and testing out many, many different methods. And I started to realize that I was able to help people without the bachelor's degree, without the letters behind my name. And not only that, but I was able to get to a place in my own life where I was feeling confident with who I was. And that was weird because I was like, I shouldn't feel happy about this. I shouldn't feel this way. But yet here I am feeling amazing and excited about what I'm doing. And all of a sudden I was like, why am I here in school taking these classes and studying this degree and developing all of the student loans? And I was like, part of me is doing this because part of me still wants to please my parents. And it was at that moment where I realized what was really going on inside of me. And it was like taking this massive leap because it was like, holy shit, once you learn something, you can't unlearn it or you can't unsee it. It's there. And it was this moment of truth for me where I was like, I can either sit here and continue to go down this conventional path of getting this degree, of getting this job, of following the protocol that everyone else before me has followed and everyone is telling me to do, or I can decide to take a chance on me. And that's exactly what I did. I was blessed with some absolutely incredible, incredible mentors who not just showed me the mind aspect of it, but the business aspect, which I am so incredibly fortunate and blessed with. I've had the opportunity to work with millionaire mentors who are astonishing at what they do, and really being able to step into a place where I can serve so many more people. And over the last year, it's been amazing, especially being able to work with a lot of military and veterans. And my boyfriend, who I've been dating for the last 2+ years now, he was a veteran when, or military, Marines, when he got out and had massive depression and anxiety. And I realized that this was a really, really big problem. That here are a lot of guys going into combat, going into war, and they're coming home with all of these things that are showing up for them and no way to really deal with it. And so that was the first place where I really took hold and I was like, this is where I want to be. This is where I'm needed. And so I started working with him, with a lot of his friends, and not working in the sense of sitting down at a desk and chatting, but just having conversation and just showing them these tools, teaching them what I've learned, showing them what I'm doing. And through this process of just education, through conversation, it was amazing to see these guys literally light up and transform and start to see things that they never would have imagined possible before had they continued to live from that old self, from that old identity. And that's where I knew, I was like, holy shit, I'm onto something. And so from there, it's just been this process of working with person after person after person, of really uncovering, unlearning these old stories, these old identities, and stepping into really unveiling their true self, their greatest potential, their greatest gifts. And it has been the most beautiful, the most incredible, the most humbling experience to really sit down with each person and help them truly just dive into their own transformation and master it. It's just amazing. So I'm so, so blessed and so, so excited to be here. And I know that, again, every piece of my journey is very similar to Dan's in the sense that it all led me straight to this. So I am so blessed and so grateful to be here. And I cannot wait to show you guys what we have to give you.
Oh, man, I love that story. I mean, there's so many places in that story where I had a Me Too moment, like over and over and over and over and over and over again. And it's just gorgeous to hear this journey that you've been on and where you are now. Knowing where Sophie is, if you guys have the blessing to get to know her in person, it's unbelievable. Her energy is just something gorgeous to experience. And it's good to know that it's not that people who have these amazing lives were always born that way, mm-hmm. right? A lot of people just put in a lot of work and had to go through some serious dark times to even get them to the place where they realized they needed to do that work. And I'm willing to bet that listening through our stories, you had some Me Too moments as well. And that's what this podcast really is all about, is to share what we've learned through our journeys here, through our dark times, through confronting our shadows, so that you don't have to do this so that you can shortcut your education, your growth, your personal evolution, and stop waiting to have that amazing life that you've wanted and start having it right now.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think this is the biggest piece to really reiterate to every single one of you out there listening, whether wherever you are on your journey, is knowing that you get to create the rest of it, that you really, really, really do get to create the life that you want to experience. And we'll dive more into this some of the future episodes, but really understanding the switch that you have to take, really owning your life. And that's part of this first step to really transforming. So I know that Dan and I are so, so excited to dive into some awesome, awesome content. And we cannot wait to share it all with you guys.
So that's it for episode number one of the Mind Mastery and Manifestation Podcast. Stay tuned for episode two, where we will share some other inspirational, motivational stories for you to see that it's not just us, that you really can do this too. And it's a lot easier than you think.
Absolutely. Awesome, guys. We will see you on the next episode.
Bye, guys.